Hi, welcome to Connect Tech. This will be a podcast where we will feature people from tech who will share how things work in their organization, ranging from architectural design to real-world implementations. Today we have with us Mohit Bhutani, who is a dear friend of mine. He currently works as a senior manager at a US investment firm and has designed and developed various applications and infrastructure which cater to nearly 16 million entities on a daily basis. Hi Mohit, welcome to this podcast.
Thanks, Arun. It's a great pleasure being here. I have been working in the tech industry for past 7 years now, so it really excites me coming here and sharing my knowledge with a wider audience and helping them avoid the pitfalls that I have come across in my experience. Being a technologist, we come across various challenges which I find really interesting to solve. So it will be interesting to discuss here with you in this podcast.
Great. So what are you working on right now, Mohit?
So currently, the application that we're building is a data store or a data lake that we like to call, which stores the end-of-day pricing of regions ranging from New York, London, Tokyo, and Hong Kong for entities like stock market products, bonds, commodities, and foreign exchanges. So every day, we deal with almost 14 to 16 million entities that compound to around 15 GB of data. So users can query this data. They can know the exact state of the world at any instance of time. They can ask for the data maybe from today, yesterday, a year back, or maybe from 10 years back as well.
That sounds really interesting. So, what does it take to get a system to the user in an efficient way?
So we had a existing application which our company started developing around 2004-5 and was in working like 2007. That application caters to around 60 to 70,000 products right now. And it also was built on a tech stack that was available at that point of time. So it is built in around in Java 6. And as a database, it uses Sybase, which is an RDBMS system. Because the RDBMS shortcomings, and also because that product was built in like 2007 and it is to 2020, so it is at the end of life almost. So we are building a new product from scratch. That particular product had some of its shortcomings, like Sybase database. For example, it requires a very good hardware, which requires almost 100% uptime. And also the data quantity, you cannot keep too much amount of data in RDBMS. It cannot work as a big data system as of now. So that is why we embarked on a journey to create a new application with a newer tech stack that can deal with, as I told you, around 15 to 16 million entities in a day.
Great. So how did you improve upon it, and how did you overcome the shortcomings that you mentioned?
So we started with the development of our new application. We already have in-house systems where we are not very dependent upon the external cloud. We have our internal servers that we use. Our pipeline is basically that we have an instance where we host our Java client, which is built on Spring Boot. And we have various pipelines that we built in Jenkins. So we build our systems through Jenkins. And then at the background, we use MongoDB as a database. And all the data that I told you is stored into MongoDB. So this is a very like a 10,000 feet overview of our systems as a whole, and which is majorly dependent on the data store that we have.
Yeah, that seems great. But you mentioned there is like 15 to 16 GB of data every day, right? So seems like there is a huge dependency on the database that you mentioned is a MongoDB, right? So what exactly is MongoDB?
So MongoDB is a very new, I would say, a database. It is a document-driven database So if you compare that to our DBMS, in our DBMS, we have rows and columns. So where in a table, you define columns, and for every entry, there is a row that is inserted. And it has a fixed length, or I would say you have to define the columns and then you have to store. And if you store anything that is not according to that particular definition, then it will throw an error that, you know, you need to store it accordingly. But MongoDB, as the name says, which it is a document-driven database, so it provides you to store documents into the system. That document usually is a JSON document. So in that, you can store any key value pair. This helps us to, you know, change the data on the fly. If you have, for example, you have a field or something like an attribute, which can have any number of attributes coming in. So you just say that this is a field called attribute, and it will allow you to store n number of attributes. You do not have to define any sort of rule that it can have these numbers of attributes in it. So it can store anything in it. It can store an array, it can store a map. So you can retrieve and save data quickly.
Great. So how did you decide to move on to MongoDB?
Yeah, so our existing system is built upon RDBMS. So in order to move from RDBMS to a new system, we had to do like a lot of research, because we want to choose something which is not prevalent right now. So in order to choose MongoDB, we did a major comparison between GreenPlum and MongoDB. GreenPlum is also an upcoming system. So we did a lot of research around 6 to 8 months. We tried to store same amount of data into GreenPlum, into RDBMS and MongoDB. And then we compared the time to save, time to retrieve, time to do all the usual interaction that we are doing in our existing system, and how all these databases are performing in that manner. So what we came across or we experienced was that MongoDB gave us the best out of the lot, the best performance out of the lot.
So what advantages did MongoDB serve to you related to the other data stores that you mentioned or compared to?
The first major advantage that MongoDB gave us was the data that we were dealing with in our system was not transactional in nature.
What do you mean by not transactional data?
So usually transactional data is which follows asset properties, which we usually come across, for example, when you have a website for like an Amazon or a Flipkart, where someone has clicked on to buy a product, it will either go through completely or it will not go at all. So that is transactional data. But for us, the data was majorly a stream of data. For example, some particular source has collected all the data during the day. There, all the processing has been done. Now they send one stream of data at once. We store it at our end. They do not want the response at that particular instant only, though we are able to save like millions of records very quickly, but they usually do not want the response. So we take our time, we store the data, that is it. And we do not do any kind of processing. We just verify all the data is correct and we just store it. So we don't have any such transactional data for us.
That's great.
Then second advantage that we had in the data that we're dealing with was we had very less updates. So whatever you gave us, you store it. For example, Google stock price at 2 a.m. was around $100. If at 3 a.m. it becomes $150, we do not update our existing record. We store a new record over it. So this way we also maintain like the state of the world, that at 2 a.m. it was this, at 3 a.m. it was this, at so on and so forth. Then third advantage was basically denormalized data. So what we wanted to do with our data was that when we are querying for it, all the information that is related to that data, something called as a metadata of it should be stored with that data only, which means like we go into the database, we say, give me the Google stock price at 2 a.m. All the values of that Google stock price plus the definitional aspects and all other required information should come at once. We do not want to make multiple trips to the database. So in that way, we had a requirement of denormalized data, and MongoDB also suggests that, you know, you should always keep your data in a denormalized form so that whatever you want to get should get it in one database trip. Then other advantages that MongoDB provides is the aggregation pipeline, which is one of the coolest features of MongoDB. Aggregation pipeline provides way to get your data in the way you want. Whatever processing that you want to do with that data, you can do it with aggregation, like grouping, sorting, unwinding, array, all those things we can do. And also MongoDB in itself does not require very high paid hardwares, which guarantees 100% uptime. So we can horizontally scale it quickly. We can store a lot of data, and because we can create multiple replicas, so it requires hardware that is less expensive. So if one node goes down, other node can become the primary.
Great. So what is the configuration of your database servers that deal with this 15 GB of data every day?
So we are running the system right now for almost 1.5 years. So we have now accumulated around 1.2 TB of data. So the current system that we have is a sharded MongoDB cluster, in that we have like two shards, and each shard has three replicas in it. So one is primary, two are secondaries. Each shard has around 3 TB of space right now. And because you want good processing power, because you want to process a lot amount of data. So every system has around 100 to 150 GB of RAM as well. So this is like a very huge overview of our systems that we have. Also, we already have like almost 100 more applications on top of our existing Sybase architecture, but we are slowly porting them to MongoDB. So all those applications will be going to MongoDB directly or through our application. So some of it are like for analytics purpose, others are for some clients, they want data in specific formats, all those things.
This looks like a lot of data and a really good way of handling it. But I really learned a lot about MongoDB during this interaction. It seems if any system deals with a huge amount of data, then NoSQL or MongoDB specifically would be an interesting option to take.
Yeah, surely. So from my past 2 or 2.5 years of experience in MongoDB, I can surely say that if you have an application which deals with a lot of amount of data every day, you should look at MongoDB because it provides a lot of flexibility. Plus, it's very less expensive, and it gives you very good response time as well.
Cool. It has been a great discussion, Mohit. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Tarun. It's been a pleasure. Hope you will invite me again.
You can find Mohit on LinkedIn and follow us for more such episodes and content. Thank you.